Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
For those who seek God at the core of our being,
that is the place where we pull away from our life in the company of others and we give God our full and undivided attention.
Sweet!
Is this heaven?
I'm Jim Burns. Well, you're probably very well aware of the many different roles you play as a parent. Kathy and I were just talking about this ourselves. But on today's edition of Homeward, I'm going to add one more to the mix, and it's one we don't think about very often. It's the role of a parent as a leader. You know, sometimes we parents overlook the fact that our children are looking up to us for guidance, and the leadership we provide for them in the home will form, I think, a foundation of faith that will carry them into their adult years. Well, on today's program, I want to talk to you about embracing your role as a leader in the home, as well as on the job. Learning to lead by listening to God is our topic, and it's going to be a great discussion today on Homeward. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. If you are a youth worker, if you are a youth pastor, you're involved in youth ministry, and perhaps you didn't have full seminary training and don't have the time or the resources to get a master's in divinity, but you still want some advanced training for youth work, I highly recommend that you go to homeward.com and hit the Youth Sphere link. There's a picture of Jim Burns and Doug Fields, and it talks all about the video curriculum that's available all online. It's a certificate program that will really enhance your youth ministry. homeward.com/YouthSphere. Today here on the program, we're going to be talking about learning to lead by listening to God. Our guest is Ruth Haley Barton. And now with part one of today's program, here's Jim.
Well, welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns, and really one of my favorite guests for Homeward is with us today, Ruth Haley Barton, learning to lead by listening to God. We all need this. You know, many of us are too busy to notice what God wants to do or is doing in our lives. Ruth Haley Barton, she's the co-founder and president of the Transforming Center. It's a ministry to pastors and Christian leaders. And by the way, we'll have a link to the Transforming Center on our website today. She's the author of several popular books and, frankly, two of my favorite books, Sacred Rhythm and Invitation to Solitude and Silence. Ruth and her husband have three daughters and two son-in-laws. Mm-hmm. Maybe even since the last time we've talked, there's been some of that. Welcome to our program.
Thank you. You are one of my favorite interviewers,
well,
so it's very mutual.
Any chance that we can get together, and it was kind of a random meeting. We were speaking both in Chattanooga, mm-hmm. Tennessee, and happened to, you know, hang out there. Ruth, you talk about reaching a point in your life where you felt tired of helping other people enjoy God. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times leaders feel like that at times, and they feel like that sometimes just even in the house. Well, I want you to talk about what you meant by that in terms of experiencing a little bit of slippage.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think all of us enter into various aspects of leadership, whether it's in ministry or whether it's the joy of having children. And we enter into it because we want to and because we have passion to do it and we're happy to do it. But over time, we find that we're giving out so much to other people that we neglect to pay attention to our own souls, to that place where God's spirit and our spirit experience intimacy together in a very life-giving way. And eventually, we realize how depleted we are in leadership and how disconnected we are from the reality that drew us into leadership in the first place.
You know, it's interesting because you work with leaders and your wonderful book is called Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership. But I'm thinking also about the leadership that I have in the home. Sometimes I feel like I'm in the same place in my home where I'm too drained to actually have the courage to lead.
Yes.
And what's interesting is, I love how you say this, that an effective leader, either in the home or on the job, they need to learn to embrace the process of strengthening their own soul. Some people think that sounds selfish.
Right. Well, you know, I was just on the airplane this morning, and the one attendant was very careful to say to older people with children, be sure to put the mask on yourself before you put it on your children. And it's the same spiritually. If we are not allowing God to nourish our own souls, we can become so empty that we do lack the stamina that it takes to stand up and really lead in our families. And I think that can be times when mistakes get made, when we don't bring the kind of discipline or the kind of spiritual wisdom that our children are seeking, because we're just too tired on the inside and it's just easier to give in.
One of the things I underlined in your book, Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership, was you define spiritual formation is much more than behavioral tweaks.
Right.
And a lot of times, don't we look for the latest fad? You know, we're in diets. We look for the latest diet fad or in this or that. And sometimes we almost look for a spiritual easy way out.
Yeah, quick fix. Yeah. And we think it's going to be that. And we can make it look good to the world, but we know something's missing on the inside.
Yeah, but what you're suggesting is that it works at the core of our being. That's not easy.
No, it's not. It takes commitment to want to lead from that place.
Yeah, and what you're saying is that, and you're promoting in many ways, the importance of solitude and silence for those who seek God. Talk about why it is so difficult for someone to take that journey of solitude. And I know it wasn't always easy for you either.
No, and it never is. I think all of us at the different stages of our lives, there are different things that pull on us and convince us that we don't have time. But solitude is really the heart of the spiritual life, because that is the place where we pull away from our life in the company of others and we give God our full and undivided attention. And God just has more access to our souls during that time, because we've turned our whole selves towards Him and we've said, God, I'm here ready to receive what You have to give. And He has a lot to give. It's just that we don't often put ourselves in a position to receive all that He would like to give to us.
And sometimes we aren't even apparent of it. Now, you talk about leadership. I mean, Moses is a great leader, yet he killed a man in anger at one point in his life. Talk about how his life gives us an example of how to react once we discover what you called our dark side.
Well, for Moses, in his case, he acted out of his dark side in a very uncontrolled way, and so he murdered someone. And he was afraid that other people would find out, and in fact, other Israelites did. So when he tried to help them another time, when there was a conflict between two Hebrews, they wouldn't have it. They didn't trust him as a leader. They saw the out-of-control nature of his leadership, and so they said, don't even try it with us, buddy, because we're not interested. And so Moses realized that people knew that dark part of him, and so he ran away into solitude. I think it's very significant when we begin to see something in our lives that we realize is dangerous. It's dangerous to us. It's dangerous to the people around us. That it is the appropriate thing to find a way to take that into God's presence, to run if you have to. Like when that guy told me there was that I needed to get out of the ocean, I didn't walk, I didn't think about it, I didn't make plans, I just ran.
Right.
And when we see that kind of a dark thing inside of us, we need to just run. We need
to
get away.
Where do you run to?
Well, we can run into solitude and silence and actually name the thing in God's presence and say, this really scares me, because I realize that if I don't pay attention to this, it could ruin my life or ruin my children's lives or whatever. But I think we also might need counsel. We might need spiritual direction at that point. We might need therapy at that point if we see that this dark pattern is something that's deeply ingrained and we know we don't know what to do by ourselves. Maybe a spiritual friend to share that. There's a power in confession. There's a power in naming and allowing someone else to come beside us in those kinds of moments of self-awareness.
You know, it's interesting. I walk through life with a man named Dr. John Wallace. He's the president of Azusa Pacific University. We meet about every 6 weeks and we sort of take a long walk and we sort of talk about things. And one of the things we talk about is our vulnerabilities. And at first that was a little bit uncomfortable to me. And I think I was moving fast enough at that time where I wasn't even as aware of my vulnerabilities as I've slowed down to have some silence, even if it's 10 minutes. I know you'll say sometimes, where do you start? We'll start with 10 minutes or just of quiet. It's been interesting to me because I think I'm more in touch with my sin bent or my vulnerabilities. And I'm actually not as afraid because I've named them and because I've talked with him about it, if you would, or talked to my wife, Kathy, about it or whatever. And yet, I think a lot of people just aren't willing to take the time to realize. And that's when all of a sudden you wake up and you go, man, why was I so angry? Or why did I shout at my kids? Or why did I get so frustrated with my wife? Or why am I vulnerable to that opposite sex relationship or whatever it may be? And it's because we're not willing to take the time to look at our dark side.
That's right. And there's something about bringing it out into the light that dispels darkness too. You know, the best way to rid ourselves of darkness is just to, you know, flip the light switch, turn the light on, light a candle, you know, let some light in. And the kind of conversation you're talking about lets the light into that dark place and dispels the darkness.
No, that's very good.
Good insight and counsel from Dr. Ruth Haley Barton here on the Homeward Broadcast. Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership is her book that we're talking about on this program. She's also written a book called Invitation to Solitude and Silence, which is a popular book here at the Homeward offices and with our Homeward listeners as well. We're talking about learning to lead by listening to God and the importance of the Sabbath and just, you know, taking those quiet moments. And if you missed any part of this program up to this point, don't worry. You can go to homeward.com and stream the audio along with us for free. You can sign up for our free daily podcast of the program, the Monday through Friday edition of the program. We podcast through iTunes. Go to homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast button, And then on that radio broadcast page, you'll see a button that says podcast on it. Click onto it. It'll take you right to our site on iTunes, and you can start that subscription as well. We are able to provide these free podcasts and audio streams because of your faithful financial support. You can also give a gift online to support us, by the way, when you go to homeward.com. We'll be right back.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
And Father, please bless this food in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 All right, let's eat.
Oh, yes, please. I'm starving.
Well, then you can start the meatloaf and the mashed potatoes.
Dad, yes. You look tired. How was your day?
Oh, not too bad, I guess. I just have 75 more proposals to do by next week. And I'll be...
Bill?
Dad?
He did it again.
Mom, I think Dad needs vacation.
Well, if he keeps falling asleep at the dinner table, that can only mean one thing.
More dessert for us?
Sweet!
Well, Dads, if something like that ever happens to you, you have my permission to take a vacation, and take it immediately. You're too busy doing good things, but you're missing out on the most important things. Perhaps it's time for you to make some serious changes. Find out if you're in crisis mode by taking the Homeward Overload Syndrome exam. You can download a free copy of it from our website at homeward.com.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Ruth Haley Barton with us. I mentioned that she's one of my favorite guests here on Homeward. Learning to lead by listening to God is what we're talking about. Whether you lead in your work, you lead in church, definitely you lead in your family. And that's what we're talking about. So many of us are so tired and so burnt out. We're not in touch with what's going on. And frankly, it comes out in negative ways. Low-level anger, lack of forgiveness with our spouse, possibly a family where there's just too much stress going on. And you know what? There is an answer. And you know what? It's a pretty courageous answer. And Ruth gives us that in a great book called Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership. By the way, I read everything that she writes because it's very influential for me. Ruth, you say that all of us have burning bushes in our lives. You know, we're talking about Moses earlier. You know, talk about why you think we need to recognize this fact and also how we should respond to these burning bushes.
Mm-hmm. Well, God is at work in our lives all the time, and the problem is that we're just unaware of it a lot of the time. And one of the interesting aspects of Moses' story is that after he had been in solitude for a long time, 40 years actually, I'm not saying we have to wait 40 years, but he was in solitude for 40 years and then was wandering around in the desert one day, and he had become quiet enough on the inside to notice his life and to see his life more clearly. And so on this particular day, he notices that there's a bush that's burning that's not consumed, and he says, I must turn aside and look at this great sight. And what's so interesting about this passage is that it says next that when God saw that Moses had turned aside to look, God called to Moses out of the bush. I think that's wonderful that God wanted to see that Moses had space in his life to listen. He wanted to see that Moses would give his undivided attention. And then God said, okay, now I've got his attention. Now I'm going to speak. And he does. And out of that burning bush experience, God calls Moses to his great life leadership task, which was to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt.
Isn't it interesting that if he was too busy doing even good Moses things, that he would have missed that call.
Right.
And he would have missed seeing the burning bush properly.
Yes, and he certainly might not have had time to turn aside and look. I mean, sometimes we might see a burning bush out of the side of our eyes, but we just don't have time. We blow right past it to get on to the next task, and we miss the presence of God right in the middle of our own lives.
Yeah, you know, and I'm afraid that there have been times in my life when that has been the case. You know, as we're talking about this, I don't want to miss. Mm-hmm. And yet so many times, and you say this so well, you know, it's a major theme for us when we talk. Leaders are busy, families are busy. Even in solitude, it's hard to sometimes turn off the to-do list, you know, just turn it off. Talk about some practical ways for paying attention to God during times of solitude. I mean, we're not talking about doing 40 days. We're not talking about 40 hours. We're talking about, you know, taking a few minutes at the beginning of this. And when you do that, give us some very practical, I mean, teach us from A, B, C, some very practical steps. And you've got a couple of practical steps in your book that I really appreciate. What do we do?
Well, there's a very simple little discipline that could take 5 minutes at the end of a day, and you can do it while you're brushing your teeth or changing your clothes or whatever. But it's what I call a review of the day, where you actually give yourself just a few minutes at the end of the day and you invite God to go with you in looking at the day that you just had, almost as though someone had videotaped it and you were looking at a videotape of your day. And you ask God to help you to see where he was present and you might have missed it. And you'd be surprised at what we notice when we ask God, we invite God to show us where he was with us and we didn't notice it. And what happens is, over time, as we practice this discipline of looking back, we cultivate an awareness that starts to come into the present, so that then when we're actually in a day, something will happen that'll feel like it is special or extraordinary, or just shimmers with a little bit of extra energy, or something that feels a little bit miraculous, or something that just touches the heart, like a burning of the heart. And in the moment, then you start to notice, oh, I think it's God here with me now. And then we might see an invitation or a prompting, and then we get more courageous in saying yes. And that's when life gets really exciting.
And it's almost practicing, in some ways, the presence of God, or whatever it may be. I underlined something when you were talking about some principles in that area, and you put notice anything external that might be out of the ordinary.
Right.
And when I've done that lately, and I really have been practicing this, I'll look back and I'll think, that conversation was a divine appointment, where I wouldn't have thought of it as a divine appointment.
Right.
And sometimes I'll have a prompting, and I even said to my daughter, Rebecca, the other day, and I think it kind of freaked her out, but I said, you know what? I was quiet before the Lord, and this happened, and I kept thinking of the word surrender, and I kept thinking of you. Well, actually, it was a kind of an extraordinary thing.
Right.
And of course, then she kind of went, wow, it's like God speaking to me through you. And I said, maybe he is.
Yeah, as strange as it might seem.
Right. I wanted to put the fear of God in her.
That's right.
But it was interesting because I got it out of the thing of noticing that something kind of extraordinary and kind of an ordinary day took place. Do you have to practice this? Is that how you find this?
Yes, I really do think, and you start by what I said before, you start by looking back at the end of the day and noticing things, but eventually as you practice that, you're going to start to notice it in the moment, and then you'll be able to respond in the moment like you did, and you don't miss it. You start to see it, you know, more regularly, and like I said, life gets very exciting then, because you have this feeling like you are walking with God and God's talking to you and you're responding, and the whole qualitative characteristics of your day changes because you're doing it so much more aware of God with you.
That's so good. And yet you say, and I think this is especially true with people who are leaders, is that there is a fatal question that every leader kind of comes against. Talk about that.
Yeah. It's the question about meaning. It's the question about why I am on this planet at this time. And for Moses, it was just unquestionable that everything that had happened in his life up to that moment brought him to this moment where God called him and said, you are a person who cares about justice. Yeah, you blew it back there and you murdered someone, but the point is you really care about justice. You really care about your people. You care about the pain that they're going through. You know what it's like to live displaced, to have to live by somebody else's rules. That's what you've lived. From deep inside you, there is a way in which you are prepared, and now I'm calling you to do it. And that was the meaning of Moses's life, as difficult as it was. And I believe each of us is put on this planet at this particular time for a purpose that only God knows. And it comes from everything that he put in us. It comes from all of our life experiences. It comes from our personalities. Even those things that we think couldn't possibly have a place in a meaningful life, those things get redeemed in the midst of our calling. And there is a meaning to our lives that we find then. And when we do find our calling, then life takes on, I think, a whole different level of significance.
And when you're saying that, Ruth, what's interesting is you and I are approximately the same age. You look a lot better for your age than me.
Don't think so.
But the interesting side to it is that I was thinking about these people who are younger, and they're busy with their kids, and they're busy with life, and they sort of miss this call. And then they get to a certain age, and Kathy and I are right at an age where our kids are kind of in and out of our house at this point. And all of a sudden, you're moving from kind of just getting by till Friday to saying, wait, what am I to do with my life? You know, the meaning issues.
Right.
I'm thinking
yes.
about legacy, where I wasn't thinking about legacy before. How do you help somebody think about that earlier in life? Do you do that also? I mean, is it possible for a young person who's just so busy with their children to actually take some time away and deal with this? Do you see that happening?
Yes, and really, that's the way I lived my life. I started writing and speaking right after my second daughter was born, and it was a hard time to do it, and I didn't do it a lot. I really did try to honor the responsibilities that I had as a mother, but I was also always developing parts of myself. I was in ministry. My husband and I worked for 5 years with young people, and we loved it. We took the kids with us, and then I started to write and speak after that, and I didn't do it full time. I didn't do it in a way that caused me to sacrifice the time with my children, because I really wanted, part of the meaning of my life is to have raised these three girls because God gave them to me. I believe I'm supposed to be with them meaningfully. But there were little things I could do all the way along the way, so that now when my kids are leaving, I have a very full life vocationally, but I still was very much present with my children, and it just developed little by little by little until now there's a life that I inhabit that has meaning for me.
You know, that's neat, and it's kind of taken baby steps, and what I'm suggesting to our listeners is that if they haven't found some of that meaning, that they get quiet before the Lord. They spend some time really searching for that. And again, it may be something that's going to happen 20 years from now.
Right.
But it
is. You can cultivate it now. You can start doing little things to cultivate it now.
Yeah. Now, we don't have much time left, but I want to ask you this final question for this segment. And that is a powerful leadership lesson in the Bible. The Israelites take what you call the roundabout way to the promised land. What's the lesson we learn from the roundabout way?
That God is not always nearly as interested as we think in our destination, like getting us there fast. Yeah. What he's more interested in is how we are transforming on the way. And with the Israelites, you know, it took them much longer to get to the promised land than was needed. And that was because they had things they needed to learn. They needed to learn how to wait on God. They needed to learn how to trust God. They needed to learn how to be a community. There were so many things for them to learn. And the roundabout way gave them the chance to learn how to trust God before they hit their first really big challenge. And so we wouldn't have wanted to get to the Red Sea any sooner because they needed to learn that God was trustworthy, because in that situation they were called upon to trust more fully than they ever had been before.
Right. You know, some people needed to hear that today. That's great input. Thank you so much for being
with
us. You've got to come back. We've
always
keep talking.
Good to be with you.
Great, great.
And that concludes part one of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with author and counselor and speaker Ruth Haley Barton here on the Homeward Broadcast. Learning to lead by listening to God has been our theme and will be our theme on the next edition of the program, too. This is a two-part conversation. If you're podcasting with us, you already knew that because you've got part two loaded in your iPod. But if you aren't podcasting with us, highly recommend that you do so. And the nice thing about podcasting, Jim, is that it gives parents especially the opportunity to manage your schedule a little bit better. You can listen to the Homeward program, for example, whenever you want to. And that's an act of leadership. And I know a lot of parents don't always think about parenting and leadership going together, but I know that's a big issue for you.
The thing I want to focus on is, yes, we are leaders, but for a lot of parents today, they are so busy doing all the other important things that they forget that they're leaders, or they don't take time to help deal with their own lives. But the truth of the matter is that if a parent is not working on their leadership skills, and sometimes that means dealing with their own issues, then they're not going to be very good leaders within the home. And so, yes, we are role models. Children see, children do. I say that all the time, and that is true. And yet, I think for a lot of parents, what they need is the permission, if you would, to take some self-leadership, to take some self-care. You know, it's that phrase that, you know, I again often say on the radio program here, untended fires soon become nothing but a pile of ashes.
Yeah.
So what I want to encourage parents to do today is, before they even think about leading their own kids, I want them to put some self-leadership, some self-care into their own life. Take a half a day sometime, go for a walk, take out a journal, write out the issues that you're dealing with. If you've got some own brokenness, then ruthlessly deal with your own brokenness before you start trying to help your kids change. And so again, it goes back to this whole idea that we have to be able to take care of our own soul, tend our own soul. And too many times we're just simply too busy to do that. And as Ruth so clearly discussed today, it's important for moms and it's important for dads to take time to listen to God. You know, one of the things that I do in my own life, and I don't do it enough, but I will take just quiet time. And I'll say, Kathy, I'm going to take a couple of hours, and I'll take the dog sometimes with me, but that's about it. He's not doing a whole
not
lot of speaking
noisy,
to me. I'll just go down to the beach. You know, we live by the beach, and I'll take the dog down by the beach, and maybe I'll bring a book or I'll bring my book in a journal. There are times when I have napped. I call it a solo time, and probably looked like I was somebody, a homeless person or something on the beach there, just, you know, sleeping there. But you know what? I find that those times invigorate me and help me become a better leader. There's other times when I have had those kind of situations that then I can raise the bar a little bit and either confront my kids and realize that they're, you know, still going to like me when I do that, or make the hard leadership decisions. But it often comes out of our own soul tending time. I want to challenge our parents and even grandparents today, anybody, to make sure that you take some soul care and soul time. You'll be a more effective leader.
Amen to that. And I know one of the things that we stress, Jim, as part of the how to be a good parent model is make sure your marriage is not suffering. And this is the soul care, both for you as an individual, but also for you and your spouse together as a couple. One of the reasons that Jim and Kathy Burns' book, Closer, has become so important to so many couples is just that. You may have this ideal that you want to do daily devotions with your spouse. Your schedule doesn't permit that. But a book like Closer gives you 52 conversation starters. That's once per week. Can you take 10 or 15 minutes once per week and sit down with your spouse and say, let's look at this book, Closer, by Jim and Kathy Burns. Let's see what the suggestion is. Let's have that conversation. If you don't have a copy of Closer yet, we want to encourage you to get one. You can call us toll-free at 800-397-9725 or just go online to homeward.com. Remember, when you order a book from Homeward that's written by Jim Burns, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. We're a completely tax-deductible listener-supported ministry. So learn more at homeward.com.
Well, please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your ongoing financial support of Homeward. You can give a gift through our secure website at homeward.com. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. You can also friend me on Facebook, and if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can now get my tweets, 140 characters of positive words about parenting, marriage, and faith. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.